grant you another comforter, that is Prophet of Islam. Prophet Jesus spoke several times of the coming of Paraclete or Comforter after him. He said, "He won't come till I have not gone. If you like me, keep my recommendations. He is the pure Spirit of God who will make you aware of all realities." It was because of this good news that when Neges, the Christian king of Abyssinia, got the letter of Prophet Muhammad's invitation, he said, "By God, this is the very prophet whom the people of the book are waiting for." The Torah also has mentioned some of the lofty merits of the Prophet of Islam. In the Deuteronomy, Prophet Moses says, "And God has told me what they have said was good. I will raise up for them from among their brothers like you, and I will put my word in his mouth, and he will tell them whatever I commanded him." The Torah then makes it clear that God will not take his soul until he guides the backward nation and makes them familiar with the call of monotheism. Prophet Abraham was another great prophet who prayed to God while building the Kaaba. That is the symbolic house of God. "My Lord, raise up a prophet in this religion who is the inhabitant of here and recites your verses to them and teaches them the book and the wisdom and purifies them from pollutions and sins." Ka'b ibn Ghalib was a noted scholar who believed in the monotheistic creed of Abraham. He read the characteristics of the Prophet of Islam in the scriptures of Abraham and embraced Islam. Muhammad Sadiq al-Fakhr, the author of Anis al-Islam, was also a Christian priest who became acquainted with the personality of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and embraced Islam. Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, the fifth infallible successor of Prophet of Islam, said on the name of the Prophet in the books of previous prophets, "The name of the Messenger of God was Mahi, or Eliminator, in the scriptures of Abraham, Had, or Struggle, in the Torah of Moses, Ahmad, in the Evangel, and Muhammad, in the Quran." Someone asked the meaning of these names, to which the Imam answered, "The Prophet, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, is the eliminator of idols and destroyer of polytheism. He has eliminated any god beside Allah." Had means that he struggles against anyone who fights God and God's religion, no matter if he is near or far away. Ahmad means that God has praised him in the best way. And his name is Muhammad because the Lord, the angels, the prophets, and all nations praise him and greet him.
not about you. IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters. Thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In case you've just joined us on this series of the show, we've been talking about the women in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the studio with me, I have the privilege and honor of being accompanied by my darling sister, Sister Razia Shabani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my sister, Sister Zainab.
Thank you for being with us.
So happy to be here to have a lovely conversation with you.
Inshallah ta'ala, likewise.
Okay, so previously we've been talking about the conduct of the Noble Prophet regarding women. We mentioned two instances of his appreciating what women, such as his mother, his wet nurse, other women like Fatima bint Asad, have done for him, and him putting them in words. Because, you know, there's this beautiful hadith where he says, the Noble Prophet says that when you say to your wife, I love you, it doesn't go out of their mind.
Yeah.
So whatever you say, you know, sometimes women have to hear appreciating them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just, I have it in my heart, I'm doing whatever, I'm putting everything for her. Mm. She wants to hear you say, I love you.
And it's natural. I mean, we're material creatures.
So do men like their wives to say, I approve of you.
Yes.
I give you authority. I'm so proud of you, right? So putting them in words, that was something that the Prophet was very good at.
And that shows the comprehensiveness of His Eminence's personality, psychologically, spiritually, socially, physically, materially. He was so all-inclusive, you know. He knew how to deal with people on a psychological level to keep them happy, to keep them pleased, to draw their hearts to Himself and to His message. We can't be like him because we're not infallible, obviously. But we can study, right? We can educate ourselves. If he's really uswatun hasana, don't you think that we should strive in every field to get closer to that role model?
Definitely. One more thing about the Noble Prophet's life and his treatment of women was that usually when it comes to matrimonial rights and the right of the spouses, some men, not all of them, some men like to keep their wives in the dark regarding what rights they have.
What are they afraid of?
Of losing money and losing their power. So one thing about the Holy Prophet was that he put his wives into the light and he made it crystal clear what rights they had.
He enlightened them.
Exactly. For example, when he married Salama, for those men who are practicing polygamy, they stay with that wife for 7 days after marriage, and for unvirgin women, they stay for 3 nights, right? We have the concept of qasm, or dividing nights between wives in polygamy. For example, in the case of Salama, who had married before the Noble Prophet, she wasn't young, but still, the Noble Prophet came to her after their first night of marriage, and he said, I will stay with you for 3 consecutive nights. That is your right. Of course, this does not mean that after that, I am disregarding you and your status. I do honor you. This is simply because the wives, after their wedding night, they have the right to have their husbands, unvirgin wives, they have the right to have them for 3 nights. But if you wish so, I will stay with you for 7 nights. But if I will have the same behavior with my other wives.
Equality.
Right. So you have the choice. So Salama says that she agrees with the 3 nights. And that's how...
And that, you know, she'd get to see him more often.
This is one instance of him shedding light on the right, enlightening them. 2, respecting them.
Right.
3, explaining to them. There are the misunderstandings.
It's because lack of communication.
Exactly.
Stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady here in the studio. I'm with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're talking about the position of women in the life of Rasulullah. Why do men think that they are above communicating with their wives? And why is it that when they are explaining to something, they're mansplaining to her, as if talking down to her? You don't understand this, okay? It's like man stuff. Let me just water it down for you. This is what you get. All right, bye. Rasulullah could have just said, this is the rule of God, like it or leave it.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to just do it. If you don't like it, there's the door. He was like, no, what do you like? How long would you like me to stay with you? And he was so gentle and caring.
Also, an instance of him consulting.
Exactly.
He asked her opinion, right? Democratically.
He's a prophet of God, for crying out loud. He has absolute
right
and authority.
And power.
Exactly.
To do what he thinks is right.
Yeah.
This is the story of him consulting with women. Next, we will move on to another topic. One thing in the seerah of the noble prophet was that there were so many misconceptions or so many customs that was not really correct or right according to the rulings of Islam and the teachings of Islam. And very mildly and very gently, he tried to replace them.
In a very subtle way.
Exactly. Mm. One of them is with regards to marrying your adopted son. So this is because they used to think, the Arabs used to think that their stepsons inherit from them and that they couldn't marry their wives once they divorced them.
All right.
So what the noble prophet did was that he had Zainab, one of his cousins, marry his adopted son,
Zayd,
and after some time, things didn't work out between them. He married Zainab.
Yeah, Rasulullah is just so open-minded. He wasn't like, oh, how dare you? I chose this wife for you. How dare you not make it work out? He's like, oh, okay, it didn't work out. All right, guys, I understand.
Yeah, but it's not like, okay, guys, let's speed up the process and let's just go for divorce. Yeah. Of course, it came as the last option because we know that in Islam, the ugliest, the most detested halal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is divorce.
For sure.
So, of course, I'm sure that he made sure that there was no other option and everything wasn't working out. So this is one thing that in a very subtle way, he helped change the wrong perceptions or wrong customs. The other one was that it still is a belief that rich people marry rich people. Doctors marry doctors. Poor marry poor
within
people.
Your own circle.
Yeah, within your own circle. He made sure that this belief was shattered in the minds of people. And one of the reasons that he had Zainab marry his adopted son was that Zainab was a very rich, beautiful,
prestigious
lady,
aristocrat,
right? But he was an adopted son, right?
Yeah, right.
So he made it happen. This also shattered the idea of, you know.
But then they ended up divorcing each other, so it was an unsuccessful marriage.
You know, the essence of Islam for marriage is that, logically speaking, if you marry someone from your own walk of life, then the chances of you being successful is
higher.
This is for cases where
It's totally taboo, right? If you marry someone from a lower caste, I will disown you, hunt you down, and kill you.
Right.
And because that is still existing in a lot of cultures.
Even for the Holy Prophet, many people abandoned Khadija. She married a poor guy who was Muhammad. Mm. And when she wanted to give birth to Lady Fatima, no one came. No woman.
To assist her.
No Quraishi woman came to help her. And she gave birth, you know, by heavenly ladies coming down, right? So even his own marriage was somehow breaking the status quo, right, of what was going on. And then, ideologically speaking, if you have the teachings of Islam, wherever you come across differences, you go to the principles. And despite your differences, personal differences, whenever you overcome a problem, you see what Islam says and you can fix your problems, despite your being from different walks of life. This was the idea he was trying to get across, right? Right. But of course, neither was Zainab perfect, nor was Zayd perfect. So the divorce, their marriage didn't work out.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
The Noble Prophet used to always say that a believing woman is the match and equal of a believing man.
Mm.
He wanted to spread this kind of teaching.
Right.
And
so the criterion should be your faith.
Exactly.
How firm it is, how devoted you are to it, how much it's your life's priority, how much you can build upon that.
And of course, the way you were brought up and who your parents are, these are also standards that you have to keep in mind when you're getting married. Because remember, they say that do not marry a beautiful woman coming from
a corrupt family.
A corrupted family. So this also you have to keep in mind.
So basically, today's discussion was regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's treatment of the women in his life. You know, how he held them in such high regard, how he consulted them regarding matters that, you know, concerned them, and how he was so appreciative of everything that any person, especially the women, had done for him throughout his life, specifically because he was orphaned at such a young age, and how he had such a deep psychological understanding of how to deal with the opposite gender. And like you said, since he is Uswatun Hasana, as human beings, whether Muslim ladies or Muslim men, we should strive and we should put effort and endeavor into bringing ourselves closer to that modus operandi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and creating that psychological deep understanding of human conduct within ourselves so that we can be better Muslims. We wouldn't walk around as Muslims, you know, and who are ignorant and clueless and selfish and don't know how to talk to the opposite gender or how to treat them or how to interact with them and so much more. And this discussion was just so wonderful for me. Thank you so much.
For me too. Thank you,
darling. And thank you to our listeners for being with us on this episode of Muslim Lady. Until another greeting and salam, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
thought.
Hello, everyone, and here are words of guidance from the Prophet of Islam that are food for thought for Islamic unity. On the day of resurrection, no foot of a servant of Allah will move before being asked about four things: the years and how they were spent, the body and how it was used, the wealth and how it was earned and spent, and about love towards us, the Ahlul Bayt.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Natural disasters often disrupt normal life, but that's not the case with an Indian couple who got married despite their town being submerged by floodwaters. The couple, identified by local media as health workers in Kerala State, managed to reach a temple for the wedding in a giant cooking pot. They could be seen smiling and waving in their ceremonial clothes while two of their relatives were steering the pot. The couple reportedly borrowed the pot from the temple, saying that was the only option available. The pair was unwilling to postpone their big day, adding an unforgettable story to a country that is famous for many incredible things. Feeling down, it's all right to cry and get help. That's all what a place called the Crying Room tries to tell its visitors in Spain. The Crying Room is part of a building located in central Madrid. It's free and open to the public. The Crying Room aims to remove the stigma attached to mental health, crying, and seeking help. It offers a wide range of services, from a corner to crying, to a phone with a list of psychologists people can call. Motivating messages are also visible on the walls. People have hailed the initiative, saying it helps them speak out about their negative emotions.
I think it's an excellent idea to visualize the widespread of the mental health issue. And I think it's a really fun take on it to call it the crying room, because of the Spanish expression, if you want to cry, go to the crying room. So it's kind of stigmatized to cry in Spain, as in many other countries. So I wanted to take part in this this visualization of the problem.
The crying room was opened in an effort to raise awareness about mental health and well-being. Official data in Spain showed that around 40% of people had symptoms of depression last year. Another 30% experienced anxiety.
The first movie in orbit in the making. Two Russian nationals who travel to the International Space Station to shoot scenes of that movie are now back on Earth. The Soyuz MS-18 spacecraft carrying an actress and a film director undocked from the ISS early Sunday and successfully touched down in Kazakhstan about 3 hours later. The film crew, along with a veteran astronaut, blasted off from the Russian leased Baikonur Cosmodrome earlier this month. They spent 12 days in the ISS to shoot the scenes. The mission beats a Hollywood movie project starring Tom Cruise. The mission adds to a long list of firsts for Russia's space industry. Fabric cuts used to recreate Vietnamese landscapes. A woman living in the capital, Hanoi, has been doing that for 40 years now. The artist, 61 years old, explains what material she uses to create her artworks.
All the details in my artworks are cut from cloth which is used for oyai, traditional costume, or cut from silk scarves. These are very small details, and I have to get the whole cloth for oyai. I even have to cut them from beautiful silk scarves sent from my friends abroad.
Tuk says sometimes hundreds of thousands of pieces of cloth are needed to shape the scenes. The cuts should be put together very carefully. Besides that, the woman has to work in a room without any air conditioning, even in the boiling summers of Hanoi. That's because, she says, the pieces of cloth are very tiny and would easily be blown away. Her hard work has paid off. The creations sell for up to $5,000. The Vietnamese artist says her work are a summary of the passion and the beauty she has experienced after traveling across her country.
Materials and methods are vital for an artist who combines them to create a masterpiece. Well, a Brazilian artist has used an unusual material to create a huge, dazzling artwork. Mandano has drawn a mural measuring 1,000 square meters using ashes from the burned Amazon rainforest. The artwork on the side of a building in the city of Sao Paulo depicts a firefighter standing near the scenes of deforestation, blazes, and dead animals. Mandano says he traveled extensively to feel that sadness and, more importantly, to collect ashes for his paintings. He says his aim is to call attention to the environment in his home country, where thousands of wildfires break out each year.
Be the first to catch the balloon. That's what competitors played to win the title at the first Balloon World Cup in Spain. The competition was held in an amusement park in the northeastern city of Tarragona. Participants had to get the balloon to touch the ground before their opponent could touch it. The event was organized by FC Barcelona player Gerard Piqué and a famous web streamer and commentator.
Get out of the comfort zone and try new things. Today we are very proud to have tried something like that, and that it has worked so well, and that people have enjoyed it. In the end, it's about people having a great time.
The competition was inspired by a trio of American siblings whose balloon game videos had attracted millions of views on TikTok and Instagram. 32 countries competed for the title, and 18-year-old teenager from Peru became the first world champion of this tournament. He defeated his German rival in a 5-minute final match. For those of you with an extreme fear of needles, this may finally be the good news. A group of Dutch researchers say they are working to create painless needle-free injections. The researchers have developed what they call a bubble gun. The device uses a laser to push tiny droplets through the skin. Take a listen to David Fernandez Rivas, the head of the project, explaining how the process is done within a millisecond.
So within a millisecond, the glass that contains the liquid is heated by a laser. A bubble is created in the liquid, pushing the liquid at velocities on the order of 100 kilometers per hour. And we can see the gelatin, how it penetrates about 1 millimeter approximately.
Now, Rivas says the invention will help ease fear of needles and lower the threshold for vaccinations. He believes the new technology can also prevent the risk of contamination through needles and reduce medical waste. If you're eager to get a needle-free shot, you may still have to wait a few more years before they are made available to everyone. From a voyage aboard a fictional spacecraft to a real-life journey to space, a 19-year-old Canadian actor, known for his portrayal of a starship captain for decades, is now the oldest person ever going to space. After a couple of days of training, William Shatner hitched a ride aboard a suborbital spacecraft on Wednesday. He took off from a Texas desert as a guest alongside three other passengers, two professionals, and a paid customer. During the 10-minute flight, the team experienced more than 3 minutes of weightlessness. Now, listen to the actor describing the voyage as the most unbelievable experience of his life.
I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened. It's extraordinary. I hope I never recover from this. I hope that I can maintain what I feel now. I don't want to lose it.
During a televised journey, the capsule took its four passengers above the maximum altitude of 100 kilometers, a point where the curvatures of the Earth can be seen. With that, the space captain of the entertainment world also broke a record as the oldest space traveler. Now, many see his experience as the embodiment of the space travel promises he made through decades of acting.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The population of giant pandas in captivity has reached a record high of 673 in 2021. Official data shows this year 48 panda cubs were born, of which 46 survived. Meanwhile, the total number of overseas giant pandas has reached 69. This is the result of joint efforts by Chinese and foreign researchers following decades of caring for the lovely animals. In July, another study put the number of giant pandas living in the wild at over 1,800. The cute bears were then reclassified from endangered to vulnerable. Experts believe such research improves conservation efforts and facilitates monitoring of animal populations. With the help of artificial intelligence, Beethoven's 10th and last symphony is now completed. A group of German musicologists and programmers started the project over a year ago. They analyzed Beethoven's style and then used algorithms to teach a computer to complete the unfinished job. The work was released to mark the 250th anniversary of the prominent musician's death. The team said they tried hard to solve the puzzle while remaining faithful to Beethoven's process and vision.
I believe that if a composer like Ludwig van Beethoven were to live today, he would probably not only have a large technology team around him to help him, but he would push exactly such technologies and use them for his art. And for me, art is not something that stands fixed in space and is always the same, but that changes with the world, and we can witness that today.
When the German composer died in 1827, he left behind some musical sketches for his 10th symphony. Some experts tried to complete it in the past, but they did not succeed. Researchers in the United States have created an incredibly versatile robot named Leonardo O'Leo. Leo was developed by a team at the California Institute of Technology's Center for Autonomous Systems and Technologies. The futuristic robot can walk a tightrope, skateboard, and even fly. Its uniqueness lies in the fact that it uses not just one, but two modes of locomotion. The researchers who developed Leo believe that similar robots will be employed on a wider scale in the future.
I think we're going to see robots like Leonardo with these extraordinary locomotion capabilities be used in things like space exploration, because they can overcome very difficult terrain, they can reach hard-to-reach places. But then I think also robots will be more and more in our daily lives. As these robots become more and more robust, more and more reliable, we're going to see them for things like package delivery or helping in the house with daily chores.
Leo is 75 centimeters tall and has four propeller thrusters mounted on its shoulders. While walking, it mimics the movements of a human by using those propellers and a pair of actuated legs. The robot can transition smoothly between flying and walking. Leonardo perceives the world around it with the help of cameras and sensors. Hot air balloons were invented in the 18th century, enabling man to finally fulfill his dream of flying. After more than 200 years, people are still eager to ride the colorful vehicles. Some even use them competitively. In the German Hot Air Ballooning Championships, balloonists will fly over the skies of the green Bavarian town of Tegernsee. 25 of Germany's best pilots are vying for first place. The organizers of the event expect a tight race, as the contestants have all managed to pass the previous competitions with flying colors to qualify for the national championship.
A zoo in northeast France has an adorable new inhabitant, a white baby rhinoceros. The cute little male rhino was born on the 6th of October. The zoo staff have given him the name of Mole. He was able to withstand less than 2 hours after being born. Mole soon started feeding from his gentle 21-year-old mother called Tala. Mole is Tala's third baby.
Thank you.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and so welcome to your program. Today's special from IRIB English Radio. What is the topic of today's episode? It's about unity in diversity. Today, Thursday, is the 14th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We catch the light through the Holy Quran by listening to it. We choose to listen to Surah Anfal, verse 63.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa alafa bayna qulubihim. Law anfaqta ma fil ardi jami'an ma alafta bayna qulubihim walakin Allah alafa baynahum innahu azizun hakim.
And brought together their hearts. If you had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have brought their hearts together. But Allah brought them together. Indeed, He is exalted in might and wise.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Prophet of Islam strove against social prejudices. According to the Prophet of Islam, trampling the rights of others disrupts peace and security, resulting in hatred and discord. Even in the statements of his last days, the Prophet warned the Ummah against discord, saying, O people, your blood and properties are forbidden for each other. Beware that every Muslim is the brother of another Muslim, and Muslims are brethren to each other.
Sallallahu ala Taha, khayril khalqi wa ahlaha. Sallallahu ala Taha.
Unity in diversity. Salah and Hajj are prime examples of the unity and the call of coming together in Islam. Everyone, rich and poor, young and old, all ethnicities are enjoined to come to Salah and pray in congregation. Similarly, for Hajj, whoever can afford it are all obliged to do Hajj and are supposed to wear the same type of garment. Imagine millions wearing the same type of garment at the same place, at the same time. What better example can we get of coming together and of unity? No other religion calls for that. We should all be in conformity and harmony so that we may become strong and become an obstacle blocking the way of those who plot against Islam and its people. So Allah ordered that we should all cling together to His robe, and He forbade splitting. And in other ayahs, He forbade differing and informed us that it is the cause of failure and the cause of decline of strength.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa bin astaghfir. Then we find that the views of Ayatollah Khamenei is that this kind of Islamic integration and unity would lead to the liberation of all Muslim communities from the restraints and problems inflicted on them by major anti-Islamic powers in the world and superpowers. And at the same time, we find that this kind of major Islamic unity and integration helps others, I mean other people, in order to render the services in the world of, I mean, toward fulfilling the duties regarding the Islamic religion and the implementation of Islamic principles. At the same time, we find that in order to come up with the integrated Muslim community in the world, and in order to intimidate the enemies of Muslims, of the greater might and power of Muslim communities, achieving Islamic integration and unity is a must. I mean, it's indispensable, because it's one of the major ways in order for Muslims to survive in the present world.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Knowing that we are like a structure, that is one of the important factors in discussion of unity. Again, I repeat, knowing that we are like a structure. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny said, "Verily, the believers are like a structure, each part strengthening the other." And the Prophet clasped his fingers together. This hadith highlights the importance of supporting one another during times of need, willingly and sincerely. It also involves expressing a sense of joy and pleasure when helping one another, seeing it as an honor to be able to fulfill someone else's need. This strengthens bonds between people, even if you were to help someone less fortunate in a completely different country. Though you may not know the beneficiary in person, they will naturally have some sort of love for you and make dua for you for the peace you've brought into their life. Attaining unity is therefore not restricted, and just by viewing the believers as bricks that come together to build a structure allows us to understand and visualize that so much good can come out of just supporting one another and being aware of each other's condition.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never.
dua for unity is among the least of things we can do to develop a culture of Muslim unity. Ask your imam to emphasize unity as an Islamic duty in his khutbahs and suggest practical ways it can be achieved in your country or Islamic organizations. Also suggest to Muslims to make a special dua for Muslim unity. When the Hajis return from the pilgrimage, the Prophet has encouraged us to go forward to receive them, and when we receive them, to request them for dua as well. This is another opportunity to seek duas for Muslim unity. Finally, make sure that you as an individual are not only working for unity, but making dua for it as well, since results are all in Allah's hands.
Oppression is an enemy not to me only, to my family members only, to my... It's an enemy to humanity. It's an enemy to every human being. The Imam alayhi salam teaches you that when it comes to rejecting oppression, this should unite all of humanity. Let's unite on this one point, that oppression is not good for us. It destroys our societies. Unite under the banner of justice. This is the best banner that can unite us. Allah will not change us unless we change ourselves. When you look at the Muslim world today, it's in a mess. Look at the Muslim Ummah. Look at the disunity. Look at the problems that we're facing. Look at the blood that is being spilled. And all of this in the name of Islam. I, as a Muslim today, especially for those of us who live in the West, I have a divine obligation. I need to represent the true image of the religion of Islam. We have to save this religion from those evil hands, from these evil people, for example, in the Middle East, who claim themselves as ISIS. We have to speak to the world, brothers and sisters. Most of our, you know, fellow citizens here in the West, they don't make a difference. They don't draw the line between ISIS and other Muslims. They think Muslims, if given the opportunity, they'll all do the same. Why have we allowed 10,000, 15,000 violent people hijacking the name of the religion of Islam? It's because we have remained quiet. Because we're not involved, brothers and sisters, in the media, in civil activities, in our societies. We're not involved. Once we get involved, then we can represent the true face and the image of the religion of Islam. It's very difficult. And this is the battle of the nafs. We have to struggle very hard to be accepting of other people. And once you collaborate with other people, brothers and sisters, the effort is multiplied and we can do wonders. When you unite with other people, no one can make us fall. No one can attack us. We'll be strong. So find those gems in your society. And alhamdulillah, we live in very diverse societies here. Find those gems, collaborate with them, befriend them, and see how you can work together in order to elevate the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spread the teachings of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in our society.
Brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, I congratulate the Week of Unity to all brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. Have a nice time.
Mustafa, anta nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursalin rahmatan lil alamin. جئت بالحق اليقين أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.